You know, a Bible reading program was created by Mr. Robert Murray McChain. That's spelled M'CHEYNE. He was an early 19th century pastor and preacher in Scotland. And this program is a Bible reading program. It takes you through the Old Testament once and the New Testament and the Psalms twice per year. You can go online and you can look up that reading program. Just type in McChain Bible program and you can see that. So that's something very interesting to look at. It's interesting, no matter how many times you read through the Bible, you learn something new that you haven't noticed or paid much attention to before. You know, we're instructed in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the best way to do that is by reading the Bible. Like so many Bible reading programs that start off in Genesis, we read how God renewed the face of the earth, created the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and then the animals, followed by Adam and Eve, the pinnacle of his creation. We also read how they were deceived by Satan to take of the forbidden fruit. And as a result, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and they were sent forth to till the ground, which God had then cursed because of their disobedience. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, we read how Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, after reading this, one may wonder, were they twins? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But it's just something to ponder. You know, by the eighth verse of that chapter 4, we read about Cain and Abel and the tragedy of the first murder by Abel, murder of Abel by Cain, and his punishment to become a fugitive as one running from the law, and a vagabond wandering from place to place. In chapter 4 of Genesis, we read about the genealogy of Cain. Cain's wife apparently happened to be one of his sisters. Continuing in chapter 5, we read about the generations of Adam. In verse 3, we read, "Now Adam lived 130 years and begat a child in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters." The rest of the chapter continues with the generations of Adam up to Noah. You know, I was wondering why it was 130 years from the creation of Adam for Seth to be born. Back in chapter 3 and verse 20, we had read how Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. All races have descended from her. But how is this possible? God must have put within Eve eggs which contained the characteristics of all the races that would proceed from her. While Adam and Eve were expecting their first child, I'm sure that they noticed births of other animals which God had made. You know, they noticed the mother cat with her litter of kittens and the dog with her wealth of pups and noticed the variety. Some brown, some yellow, some striped, some solid. So it probably came as no surprise that when she gave birth that some may have been brown, some red, some yellow, some white. I'm not saying that's the case, but they would not have harbored any prejudice to their own children had that happened. Just like a mother cat could have many colors of kittens and a dog have many colors of pups. So who knows how many children were born before Seth, and this could probably explain why it took 130 years for Adam to have a son in his own likeness. I've often read through chapters 4 and 5 without giving them much thought except for the fact they lived quite long. However, I noticed that in chapter 4, none of Cain's descendants' ages were given, whereas Adam and those descended from Seth had ages of how long they lived. It made me wonder if Adam lived 800 years after Seth was born, who in his genealogy was living before he died? And then to satisfy my curiosity, I decided to build the chart, which I had passed out to you all, and stack them, the ages, and with each descendant represented by a horizontal bar whose span was proportional to the length of their life. As I laid out the horizontal bars in the chart, I was amazed as to the number of generations of Adam through Seth were born while he was still alive. It's interesting to see how Noah's father Lamech was alive for 58 years before Adam died, and was alive 168 years before Seth died. It made me wonder if Lamech ever sat down and conversed with Adam and listened to the stories of creation, of the Garden of Eden, of their removal from their paradise, and the death of Abel and the banishment of Cain. Did Lamech ever speak with Seth? Did Seth ever talk about his brother Cain to Lamech? If Lamech had firsthand communication with these individuals, the popular belief by so many Bible skeptics that Genesis is just a collection of folklore and fables handed down from generation to generation would be nullified. Lamech most likely had first-person knowledge and access to the source of this history. Lamech, the father of Noah, would have told Noah about his conversations, which he may have had with Adam, Seth, and righteous Enoch, his grandfather. There would have been a very strong link to the past. It's interesting to note that of all the people who were living on earth in Noah's time, that there was only one man, one family, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah. He was just and upright, and he walked with God. And most likely he feared God, as we heard in our first message today, to fear God. How many people were living on the earth before the flood? It's been estimated that there were anywhere from 5 to 10 billion people living. Now, I went online and I just Googled how many people were living before the flood, and it came up and it provided some calculations and whatever. And you wonder, because the people were living so long that they weren't dying off, you know, every 40, 50 years, but living to be 950 years of age, that there was a lot of people living at one time. Not sure what the exact number was, but one is reminded of Christ's comment in Matthew 24, verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, we look around at the world today and we see the technological advances and the modern conveniences. Prior to the flood, did they have technological advances and modern conveniences? We also see with those conveniences an insurmountable amount of problems affecting humanity. All manner of evil, just as in the days of Noah. You know, God was fed up with man and his wickedness and pronounced judgment upon them 120 years before their destruction. We read that in Genesis 6 and verse 3. We read, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. If God called Noah at this time to build the ark, it would have been before Shem, Ham, and Japheth were born, because Noah was 500 years of age when he begat them, as it says in Genesis 5 and verse 32. Who knows, maybe he had been a bachelor up to this time and decided that he better get married. One doesn't know. And maybe he decided that he better plant some trees in order to build that ark. And trees don't grow up overnight. Now, Noah was 600 years old when the flood did come. And when Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar and offered burnt offerings, as we read in Genesis 8, verses 20 to 22. We see that God said that he would curse the ground no more for man's cause, or because of man. I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's an awesome promise. We know that while the earth remains, that we will have springtime and harvest. Did God take away the curse that he had made when Adam and Eve sinned? We read in Genesis 5 and verse 29 that Lamech, Noah's father, had prophesied that this same Noah shall comfort us concerning our work and sorrow of our hands as touching the earth, which the Lord had cursed. When Noah and his family disembarked from the ark, it was a new beginning, a new age, for the old age had been destroyed. They were all alone. The evils of the previous age were washed away. Were all the towns and cities destroyed, as well as the vineyards and forests? God pronounced a blessing upon them, commanding them to go forth, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and put the promise of the rainbow in the skies that he would never destroy mankind again with a flood. However, it didn't seem very long, for the evil influences of Satan were once again at work. In chapter 9, beginning in verse 18, we read, "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan." And Ham is the father of Canaan. Why did Moses put that phrase here? He didn't identify any of the other sons of Shem or Japheth. Moses must have put this here because it was relevant to what is to follow in the succeeding verses. Continuing in verse 19, "These are the sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without." Once again, it's called out that Ham is the father of Canaan. "And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness." Now, if you would hold your place here, thank you. Hold your place here and turn over to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 6 through 8. Leviticus chapter 18, verses 6 through 8, is talking about having relations with those of your close of kin. But if you read in verse 6, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife thou shalt not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness." And if you drop down to verse 16, "Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife, It is thy brother's nakedness. Now, with this in mind, let's go back and read in Genesis 22, verse 23. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it both on their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. So Ham is the father of Canaan. And from that, I'll let you draw your own conclusions. But it's interesting to note, based on what it's talking about in Leviticus. In chapter 9, we read of the generations of Noah. Noah lived for 350 years after the flood. In the handout that I had provided to you, I also put on the back side of it the generations of Noah. And it's kind of hard when you're just reading through it to see it all together and until you kind of stack it. And it's amazing how many generations that there were that followed after Noah. Of course, Noah and his family are the progenitors of the entire race of humans that are on the earth today. You know, as I continue to build out my chart using the genealogy of Shem, that's in chapter 11 of Genesis, verses 10 to 32. You know, I came to realize that Noah was able to live to see the birth of his great, 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 great grandson, Abram, the 10th generation after him. In fact, Abram was 58 years old when Noah died. And you know where Noah was? He was in the Ur of the Chaldees. Was that where Noah was? In that same region? You know, Noah was known to be a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2, verse 5. Do you think that Noah quit preaching about God and his righteousness after the flood? Most likely, he did not. You know, could Abram have had conversations with Noah about what it was like before the flood? How about with Shem, who happened to live longer than Abraham? Is this how Abram had come to know the true God? So when God told Abram to get up and go to a land that I will show you, Abram probably remembered how God had told Noah to build the ark. And by doing so, Noah saved his family from the crisis to come. And Abram also obediently obeyed God and left and went where God directed him to go. Abram got up and left Haran and went where God said to go. It's also interesting to note that when Jacob fled from Esau, when after he had stolen the birthright blessing from Isaac, he went back to where his mother Rebekah's family had lived. He went back to visit his uncle Laban. This is the same area from which Abram had migrated. Jacob lived for 50 years before Shem died and may have spoken to Shem. You know, we don't know what their conversations may have been. We are not told in the scriptures that we have. But it's interesting to note how soon after the flood, people once again turned from God and followed after idols. Even though they had access to Noah, who lived on the other side of the flood, and who saw the destruction that was wrought, they still turned away from God. It's interesting to see that they started building the tower only 120 years after the flood. Sorry, it's so small print, those of us that need glasses or magnifying glasses. Kind of try to shrink it onto one page. the bottom half, I moved over the red line that runs vertically there where the flood should be moved over and stacked underneath the red line where Noah's at. But I just wanted it all on one piece of paper. But I guess I misspoke. Construction of the city of Babel was 130 years after the flood. In fact, you know, when they decided to build a tower to reach the heavens so that they could escape any possible future flood that would come upon the earth. And by the time of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, it was only 389 years after the flood, approximately. The wickedness was so great of those cities that God had to destroy them. If you think about it, how soon after their destruction did word reach the known world by the merchant travelers what had happened there? It just goes to show how the human mind, without the Spirit of God working with it, is so easily turned away from Him. Of all the people on earth after the flood, God chose one man, Abraham, to work with and to establish a covenant from which all peoples of the earth shall be blessed. Abram had lived 58 years before Noah died, and he had begat Ishmael when he was 88 or 86. It's interesting that Jacob had lived 50 years before Shem died. On the backside, you'll note, excuse me, that Abram had Ishmael, Isaac, but then he also had six other sons by the wife that he took after Sarah had died. And Ishmael had a dozen sons. I didn't want to expand it too much. I wanted to keep this on one page as well. It's very fortunate that we now are called and we are given God's Holy Spirit. When there was only one individual before the flood who was called and brought through with his family, and only one family, Abraham and his sons, whom God chose to work after the flood. So how awesome is that calling when you think of before the flood, one man, after the flood, Abraham, and then his descendants, one family from which the children of Israel came out of. But we have been given an opportunity to be part of that same plan, the same goal that they looked forward to. And now, since the establishment of the new covenant through Jesus Christ, we have been able to participate in the plan of salvation that was established since the foundation of the earth, since the foundation of the world. Now, we need to really take to heart the wonderful treasure of God's Word. We need to read it. We need to read it daily. Try to get into a habit of reading it, either before you go to bed at night. It's a good way to calm your nerves and to settle you down for the day. Or read it first thing in the morning. It helps start off your day. So let's take to heart the wonderful treasure of God's Word. Let's all continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ and of His servants in the Bible by digging into the Scriptures and looking forward to the wonderful plan that He has in store for us.